Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Get to Know Grace, our next time to be together to hear stories of our community members and get to know each other better. As always, my name is Pastor Rachel. Welcome to this time together where I am joined by the lovely Jeff Barstow. This time when we get to hear a little bit more about who you are, Jeff, and God's presence in your life. I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank you, Pastor Rachel. Me too. Yes. It's pretty darn cool.
It's pretty darn cool.
It is pretty darn cool. But we get to be here and get to have this experience that even though our friends who are listening now can't be here to see and experience that we're lucky enough to be here to do this. So thank you for making time.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly. Well, let's open in a word of prayer. Good and gracious God, thank you for this time together to be your people in your world. As we engage in conversation during this time between Jeff and I, be with us, oh God. Your presence stirring in our conversation, your presence stirring in all those listening now. Keep our hearts and ears open, oh God, throughout this time to hear of your presence in Jeff's good life, to hear his witness to your goodness and your presence and your faithfulness in his story. All this and so much more, we pray in your holy name, trusting that you are in fact here, trusting that you are in fact with us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I'm nervous. Gosh.
No need to be.
I'm so glad that people can't see.
One of the saving graces of podcasts. Can't see shaking hands.
Right.
It's just.
Or
it's
the
just...
nervous fiddling.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, what do I say now? Or do I look okay? And
is my hair okay?
Right.
Is my mask on straight?
That's
all of that.
Right.
All of that. Not a problem. Well, welcome, Jeff.
You're so funny.
Oh my gosh. This is going to be, I can already tell this is going to be a great time together. It's going to be so good. So, Jeff, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you want the good people of Grace Lutheran to know about who Jeff is?
My name is Jeff Barstow. I'm a sinful human being, richly blessed with God's grace. And he's just provided so much in my life. And so here we are, you know. I thought and prayed a lot about what is it that people would like to hear? Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I don't know. I can't guess what they'd like to hear. That's not me. So I just prayed about it and thought, well, gosh, I'm sure God will fill my head and allow my mouth to move in a way that is his words or his, what's the message that God would really want people to know? Yeah. And I'm hoping that this is what that is. And part of it is that being on the board and all that kind of stuff, I hear frequent comments, oh gosh, you know, that must be really important. You're really important. And I say, well, the work is really important, but I'm not at all. I was fortunate to have been blessed to be, I guess, included, asked, prayerfully and humbly accept that although I didn't feel that I wanted to, there was something bigger than me that said, you know, it would be good, Jeff, I'd like to have you involved because I believe there's things you can do to help. I believe there's knowledge and information, experience, and those kinds of things that you can use that I've given you as gifts to share as you work together with an ever-evolving board, with an ever-changing church and the environment we're in to advance my work. And, you know, I want you to be that vessel. You may feel like you're a little tiny cup, which I do, but collectively together, that little cup with those other cups, you guys make a big difference because I'll keep filling it up. So there we are.
Oh, what a testament. Oh my gosh. Oh, I love that so much. To be a cup filled up, to also be that image, I just, whenever someone says I'm a cup, I often think of just like the image of cup overflowing. And
yep.
I think of you
yep.
too when I think of overflowing blessings and goodness
yeah.
and
yeah.
and just joy. That's
yeah.
just who you are.
Yeah.
And
well,
I love
thank
that.
You. I have it. It's despite all of the failings and,
mm-hmm.
and crappy stuff that each of us is, well, me, have
mm-hmm.
done, hurting others, but helping others, knowing God's grace is always there, that the life He's blessed me with is just unimaginable.
Yeah.
I,
yeah.
A family, a grandson, my wife, my mom who's still alive, that Melanie takes such care of, and you know,
yeah.
the hundreds of miles a day she drives to be in both places, and it's like, wow. And just all those things. So again, richly blessed and happy to share
yeah.
this time with this group. And each time I look at my calendar, I think, wow, there isn't a week where I don't have something for the church.
That's amazing.
And yeah. Yeah. There's our finance team, our inclusion team, our
yeah.
board meetings, discussions with Jason.
Yeah.
As he's asked me to be a mentor for him, and my friendship with Paul Marth, and
yeah.
and just mixing, there isn't a conversation we don't have where church is part of that, at least.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
again, I feel so blessed that I can do that, but humbled that God has put me in this place, and I have the obligation to, I guess, continue listening, and when somebody asks a question,
yeah.
an even more important obligation to provide a thoughtful answer, a prayerful answer, or a, I don't know, let's think about this, or
yeah.
I don't know, and let's pray about it. So
yeah.
here we are. There's
yeah.
Jeff, and the I fondly nicknamed, said, the notice you sent was Get to Know Grace Board, B-O-A-R-D edition.
Yes.
And I responded in a different way. I wrote B-O-R-E-D because I don't want you to be bored
no.
or the people listening to say, oh man, that Jeff, will he ever just
no.
be quiet?
No.
Let somebody else talk. Oh my goodness. Man.
I wouldn't have invited you on the podcast if I didn't want to hear you talk. So I think I'm not bored at all.
Well, or that, gosh, I can't exclude Jeff because he's part of the board, so I better ask him.
This was volunteer basis. So.
I do remember that. You did. It's very open-ended. You can if you like. You can if you like, but it'd be really good for the congregation to get to know you
yes.
differently.
Yes. Well, and I just love your servant and leadership heart, where it's just, it to me, seems like so much fun for you to just be here and to be talking
yeah.
about it. Because if it wasn't fun and loving and perfect, well, I shouldn't say perfect, none of us are perfect, but if it wasn't life-giving for you, it wouldn't come up in all these conversations.
That's right. And I wouldn't do it.
No, absolutely.
It's not right.
Right.
It's
yeah.
not right.
If
so,
it's not
you.
Life-giving, why do it?
Yeah.
yeah.
That's right.
I think of all the time, there was a podcast I used to listen to forever ago. Oh my gosh, what was it? Referencing a podcast on a podcast. That seems very,
yeah.
that's the next level. But, it was called Nerdette, and it was done by a friend of my family's. And the whole premise was that this, the host would have people come on, and she would just have people talk about what they were nerdy about. And to really
oh.
just embrace being nerds. We're all nerdy about something. We all love something.
Yes.
And I love church nerds. Like, I love people who are so passionate about church that it comes up in every conversation, or that it's on every week of the calendar. I think we can claim that proudly, Jeff, that we're church nerds.
Yes, okay.
There we go.
I will do that.
Yes.
It's out there, now people know.
You've claimed it.
That's
There's
right.
No
Pastor Rachel
back.
And Jeff just agreed
yeah.
that, you know, we each share this nerdiness
exactly.
about church.
Exactly. It's what keeps me coming back. Just love it so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I agree.
Well,
it is that too.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, how did you come to find Grace Lutheran Church? Or, and maybe it's part of all the same story, what keeps you coming back
okay.
to this
it's
space?
It's a pretty cool story. So, way back in the day, my best friend, Dan Welliver,
mm-hmm.
he and his, his family were members here.
Okay.
And Bert and Nancy Welliver. They are, I mean, you haven't been here long enough to see, but they're part of the history. You know, Al Rasper and Jack Lyon and all those guys that have been here, you know, decades, knew of the Wellivers and how much they did.
Okay.
The wooden candelabras that we use at Christmas,
yeah.
Bert Welliver made those.
Gotcha.
And donated
gotcha.
Them, amongst other things. One of the cross thing, I think he did the cross to the wooden one we have up front next to the...
Yeah.
I think he did that one too. I could be wrong, but for sure he did the candelabras.
Okay.
So longtime members and, you know, when you're a teen, Dan and I met in eighth grade. And he was the best man. That friendship went, and it still is today. We just celebrated his birthday's on the 30th, exactly 2 weeks after mine in September. So we, ever
Happy
since...
Happy belated birthday!
Well, thank you. Thank you.
That's so cool. Wait, when's your birthday in September?
September 16th.
Mine's September 26th.
Oh my gosh! Oh, I didn't
and
know
then
that.
Your
and then,
is 4
yeah,
days
Dan's
later.
Is the 30th.
Dan is
40. Yeah.
Oh my
so,
gosh. Anyways, happy belated birthday.
Thank you, and you too.
Thank you.
And I had no idea, so I'll have to put it in my calendar.
Deal.
And so, you know, as friends, right, you just spend, you know, do overnights and you do stuff together. So on Saturdays, we would usually go do stuff. In the summer, it was bike riding and camping and that kind of thing. In the winter, we skied together. And on Saturday nights, just spent the night at their house, and then Sunday morning after he and I got up at 4 a.m. to do his paper route together, we would come to church. And so I was first introduced to Grace Lutheran Church a long, long time ago when I was in eighth grade. And then we were roommates in college, and of course kept in touch. He was the best man at our wedding. We've kept in touch. And then when Melanie and I got married and we purchased our first home together, it was just up the street here in the Misty Woods condominiums.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so 2 blocks from here. So we could walk to church, and my home church, which was St. Luke's, so many of my friends were not there anymore.
Yeah.
And my best friend, Dan, was still coming here, right?
Yeah.
We graduated from college, we moved back to this side of the state, and I won't say that we were looking for a church home, but since we'd always been in church, it just seemed like, well, that's what we do on Sundays, because, you know, you go worship God and say thank you. And
right.
I've certainly grown a lot since then to know that it's so much more than that, that the big hard work is Monday through Sunday morning.
Yeah.
When you're away, it's like, okay, so great lessons learned for life. So those listening who are younger, please heed the advice that it's much easier when you're younger to get in the habit of living what you hear or read on Sundays, so that the Sunday thing isn't so hard when you go back to work or to life on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Dan helped with that. And 1981, when we were married, we kind of joined then.
Yeah.
What was interesting is that, and I reflected that we never did do a new member class. It just seemed like we were always here.
Yeah.
And Pastor John and Pastor Marcourt were just always, I mean, yes, I was confirmed in a different church, but it's part of the Lutheran community.
Yeah.
Melanie had been a Catholic,
mm-hmm.
but converted, or I don't know what you'd say, when we got married.
Yeah.
And so this was our church home. So we started going here in 1981.
Wow.
And so it was the Welliver family that brought us here, and it was the friends and people that just embraced us as, quote, their kids, because we were back then.
Yeah.
You know, so many of these people that are friends now in life so many years later are those that, you know, helped us still be here.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's what got us, and what kept us coming is exactly that, and the gifts of being invited to be on numerous call committees and
mm-hmm.
part of all these things that happen in church, and the gift of going on many mission trips to Mexico.
Yeah.
With my kids,
yeah.
I'll say, you know, and then And then the first ever mission trip that Grace Lutheran did for Hurricane Katrina, to do that. And so, you know, the question was, you know, what brought you a friend?
Mm-hmm.
What kept me? Friends.
Yeah.
And the chance to be involved with the ongoing ministry of our responsibility to help others that can't help themselves. So mm-hmm. here we are today.
Amen to all of that.
A few years later.
A few years on from eighth grade.
That's
we're here.
Right. Yeah, we're here. That's okay.
I love that. I had no idea you would come to Grace prior to when you and Melanie came. You said it was 81 that you officially joined?
Yes. Or 82 or when we joined, there. But we were married in 81.
Okay.
And that was even interesting, too. We got married in St. Luke's, but
sure.
but Ed and John were part of the ceremony in another church, right?
Gosh, yeah.
Just because they loved us and knew us, and we were part of that community, and St. Luke's too. And so it was, you know, why not? They're children of God.
Yep. Yep.
Independent of which church they may affinitize with,
sure,
or attend. And so, that's kind of interesting. It's cool to see those pictures too.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. This is why I love doing this podcast. I find out more about people. I mean, we haven't known each other very long, but we've been working together
for a while. Yeah.
Right. It's almost
3 years.
Almost two. It'll be two in January.
No, I go back to when we first met.
Oh, okay.
In this very room,
like
we're saying.
Yes.
We're sitting in different chairs now.
We are. That would have been in the fall of 2019.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. That was pre-pandemic.
Oh,
that feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, I know. It does.
Amazing.
It was.
Amazing.
You know, Tim Koenig was here. And
yes.
Pastor John. I mean, yeah, it was pretty crazy.
I remember Diane and Tessa, who have also been on the podcast. They were in the room too. And
oh, good.
Oh my gosh, it was a good. Yeah, Diane and Tessa were on the last episode.
That's why there's such good karma here.
That's
because the ladies were here before me, of course. Thank you, Pastor Rachel,
yes.
For the three of you then.
Yes.
With this encouragement.
Oh my gosh, it's been amazing. It's been just a blissful experience getting to know folks better, and yeah, it's been super fun.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, tell us about a time when God's grace really made an impact in your life, whether that was because you were experiencing it anew, brand new, renewed, or it reopened your eyes to something you had. Sometime when God's grace really, and it can be multiple times if it's hard to pull down to just one.
It is. There are.
I know.
There's things that happen every day where I have to shake my head in disbelief that God was looking out for me and did something that either intervened or opened my eyes and opened my heart, and hopefully I don't sob my eyes out here and
we got tissues.
Get the entire velour couch here so wet that no one can sit on it for a while. And they're like, what happened there? Jeff cried.
Right? Oh, that's an image. For those of you listening, they really are velour couches.
Yes, they are.
They are. They really are. Well, we got Kleenexes. We can soak it up.
Oh, there's so many. I guess there's a few that pop out. But the number one is as a married couple, things don't happen, and there's experiences in life that are just, you know, you're in the midst of them and they're horribly challenging and difficult, and you have to shake your head and look, and it's so easy to just continue with the guilt of, man, how could I just mess up so bad?
Mm-hmm.
And is it possible even that any of that can be forgiven?
Mm-hmm.
In how you've hurt somebody that you love so much, and we do that with yes, family, yes, spouses, but no, horribly bad that we did it to our own family and those that we're closest to. And so the grace that comes with that, beyond my human understanding of how God can forgive that, God can move in the other person's heart and mind to do the same. Yeah. For those of you wondering, Jeff's whimpering and trying to get my breath. And so that's an experience. So it's every day that I just think where it could have been or can be so sideways for the smallest of reasons, and yet God helps us see that it doesn't need to be.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
we have that grace to try and live into that, but know that it is humanly impossible. So to understand that we have an obligation to try as we might, but through God's power only, try as we might to live like he did and be as gracious and forgiving and understanding and patient. And you know, the list is so long of what he gives us all the time for, you know, the micro failures that I have every moment.
Yeah.
You know, the thoughts that cross my head that are just not right, and and the cross or angry or impatient words that just blurt out of my big mouth, ill-timed and certainly unwanted by the person who has to hear them.
Yeah.
So it's things like that that just, I try so hard, but I always feel just falling so short of that. And so the grace that goes with that, to know I'm forgiven, and that yes,
yeah.
he created each of us in his own image,
yeah.
but I'm not
mm-hmm.
his image. His image is that we're all perfect and good, and that's who he created us to be, but I fail miserably at living that out because,
yeah.
you know, the original sin thing happened, and
yeah.
doggone it, there I am, a human being again, stepping on my own feet
right.
and stumbling and just, you know, landing on my face. And he gently comes and pats the back of me and picks me up and says, move along, son.
Yeah.
I still have you. I still love you. And
yeah.
remember, I'm always here. So,
yeah.
you know, that's something. The other one, I guess, that just resonates with me is the opportunity I've had to experience a mission giving kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned Katrina earlier, and I mentioned the years of trips with the youth and to go and be with the orphans in Mexico, and again the people who I can't fathom what it would be like to evacuate your home because you have to or you'll die, and then wait it out somewhere. And then when you're finally allowed to go back, not knowing at all,
yeah.
what are you going to come back to when you make that final corner on your street?
Yeah.
And you look in the space that was or is still your home, and how much is there, and what's it like on the outside? But more important, I know they're possessions, yet seeing and feeling the utter helplessness and devastation of somebody who, when we meet them at their home, they're sitting in a corner sobbing because
yeah.
all of their stuff isn't, or much of it, is not even in their home because it was sucked away.
Yeah.
And the stuff that's in their home, they know it may be their neighbors because they've seen these. It's things from everywhere else but your own.
Yeah.
Yet there's the miraculous discoveries of these little cubby holes
mm-hmm.
or closets or areas in their home that were untouched.
Yeah.
Untouched to this devastation. And the joy of people discovering and us getting to discover it and see that with them and just think, my goodness,
yeah.
I don't know that God controlled the
mm-hmm.
chaos that happened, yet I can't help but think and reflect that amidst all of that crap,
yeah,
there was something that God did,
yeah,
that preserved that peace to give that person and that family and that couple the hope and reassurance that despite everything they said is gone,
right,
it's not all gone.
Right.
And so to experience that and be a part of it was just so mind-blowing.
yeah. Oh, I have such an image in my head of when you're talking about being imperfect human, sort of this image I have of just sort of like clenched fists, and how we're just like either clenched or hunched over with too much weight or whatever it is, and how the beauty of faith and being community and faith means sort of some releasing of,
mm-hmm,
that relaxing of those muscles,
mm-hmm,
or standing up straighter,
mm-hmm,
because yeah, you're right, I'm not perfect, but whew, I can maybe let this go and let God, because holy cow, there's so much. And it's just,
yes,
the tighter we hold on. You people who are listening, you can't see it, but I'm clenching my hands right now. And just the idea of just holding on so tight that your hands go numb.
Yep.
Or have you,
yep,
ever done that experiment where you like push your hands against a door?
Yes.
And
then
you push
walk
so
out.
Hard,
yep.
And then your arms raise.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many times I think of God just looking at us as hunched over, clenched, and God's just trying to say, like, let go and breathe and,
yeah,
and get some space, because that's what I really want for you and,
yeah,
I love you. And it's so hard for us to let go of that.
Yep.
That,
yep,
clenching. And then, yep, when you were talking about your time in New Orleans, and I was just thinking, the how often, obviously none of us want to say that God sent that devastation,
right,
that God was in,
right,
control of that storm, because we don't want to go there. I frankly,
yeah,
even as a,
yeah,
pastor, don't want to go there. And the promise of faith is that there are these little islands of hope in the,
mm-hmm,
midst of the devastation,
mm-hmm,
no matter how bad the storm is, no matter what happens,
mm-hmm,
the promise of our faith,
mm-hmm,
is that there will be those little cubbyholes where,
right,
that island of hope is still there, that life preserver of hope is still there.
Right.
And what an amazing testament to that. Like, an image that I just won't ever be able to shake of a house completely devastated with just little cubbyholes,
yep,
preserved,
yep,
of beloved family heirlooms or,
mm-hmm,
pictures,
mm-hmm,
or whatever it,
mm-hmm,
was.
Yeah.
That's how our faith works. And that's incredible. It's just incredible.
Yeah, it is. I shared a story today during the Bible study. Let's see. I can't recall the exact question, but,
mm,
we got to talk about serving others. And this part of the story came up, and it's a great example for what you just said. So we were at a home that had been completely, you know, washed through.
Mm-hmm.
So there was mud everywhere, and there were giant spiders behind every cubby, and giant snakes and cockroaches. Is just for those that can't see, I'm squirming uncomfortably because it's gross. And this family, as we were cleaning things out, we asked, so how's this feel to have people here helping you clean out your home,
yeah,
and what's it like to see your stuff? And this giant of a man, he was a scholarship football player for University of Southern Mississippi.
Okay.
And we were trying to move this couch that weighed, you know, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looked at all of us and said, none of this is my stuff. It's from my,
wow,
neighbor, or, you know,
yeah,
it's from somewhere. So I don't know where mine is, but in order for me to be back in my house with my family, you know, whatever is here, we need to move out. And as we were going and making our way through the home after moving this couch out, he was on one end, and I think there was three of us on the other. That's how big this guy was. And one of the other guys with me was Brian Irvin, so that gives you an idea. And it says, back in the day, we were younger and pretty strong, and that guy was just a giant. But as we walked through the house, just around the corner was this little room, and you have to open up everything because you need to see where the water damage is, because you have to just tear. What you end up doing is just once you muck out the home, you pretty much tear off all of the boards to see how much water damage is on the studs, because if there's any at all, you know, there's a chance of mold. And so depending on how bad it is, you know, we go through and spray. But we opened this little tiny closet door as a white door, and inside is white and pink. And it was so beautiful. And inside this room, around the corner where the neighbor's gigantic couch had washed in amongst a foot of mud, was this perfect pink and white closet, undisturbed with all of this man's little girl's clothes. Oh. Still on the hangers.
Wow.
And to think that he could now tell his daughter that her stuff is okay.
Yeah.
And that now a sign for her that life's okay. Mm. We still have each other. Mm-hmm. You still have your things that meant so much that you had no idea and had probably had so much anxiety about losing. And here's this pristine pink and white closet, undisturbed. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It was really fun. So the dad took a picture and he said, boy, you know, my daughter's going to be so excited to see this. My wife is going to be so excited to see this. So it's those things when you see grace,
yeah,
right? Like the you know, trying to answer that question, you know, what is that? So it's things like that that just, I've been so blessed to see that and just think that I need to take more time to take the steps back in my own life and say, well, we haven't had that happen, but there's so many others that have, that I can reflect on the tiniest of things that, while it's been this horrible or hard thing, there's been these that are that calming and peaceful moment or element to just reflect on and see and appreciate, to know that it isn't all bad, and that despite all of that, there is good that's come out and that will continue to come out of all of these.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I always thought about it. But then as I grew up, and then you do see the magnitude of things happening.
Yeah.
And then I get the chance to reflect on that and be reminded that, yes, God can make anything. There will be good that comes out of whatever that is. So I try and reflect on that more often than not, and I certainly need to do it more frequently than I do. So there we go, Pastor Rachel.
That was amazing.
That's Jeff
in a nutshell.
B-O-R-E-D member.
Yeah. No, not at all. Oh, I think that is the perfect statement to end on, that God just works miracles when we think that miracles aren't possible.
Yep.
Yeah. In the worst of our lives, God is still there.
Yep. Thank you for that reminder, Pastor. Yeah.
Well, thank you. You're the one who said it. I'm just paraphrasing. Well, thank you so much for being here, Jeff. Thank you for sharing your story. And thank you all who are listening for joining us again for another episode on Get to Know Grace. Don't forget to come back next week. We're going to have another great, amazing Grace guest. As always, our hearts are with you. Our blessings go with you. God's grace go with you wherever you are. Take care, everyone, and we'll see you here back next week.